Alabama and Tennessee's News Talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is not Phil Williams here live. This is producer JP here live in the Right Side studios. And man, we're covering the local, the state, and the national, all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today, January 20th, 2025, is the first ever Right Side Radio show under President Donald J. Trump. It's official today. Of all the Right Side Radio years, this is the first time we have done a show without Joe Biden as president. And when that is the case, it is a good day. That's right. Donald Trump was officially inaugurated today at the Capitol. And it's just been a great day. Phil was up in D.C. Celebrating, rubbing elbows with all the official people up in D.C. He got great shots of Biden actually leaving the Capitol in Marine One that he posted on his Twitter, so make sure you go check that out. But Phil will be calling in later during the show, I think around 2:30 to 3, tentatively somewhere in between there. So if you want to stick around and hear his live reaction, then make sure to do so. But in the meantime, this is JP here filling in alongside Emily Hayes. You can find her on the Dale Jackson Show up on VNN. And what better day for the prophecy to reunite than on Inauguration Day. Am I right on saying that?
Yeah, and you know, it didn't even dawn on me that that's what was happening, that it was the, it's the first Right Side Radio under President Trump. So, Phil, how could you be gone right now? But it's okay.
I know, right? Like,
you've got JP. We are your day pass to go and enjoy the inauguration festivities.
So he started this in 21, I believe. So like literally right after Joe Biden came in is when he started. And but, you know, we can give him a pass, I guess, because he told me he's having the time of his life up there in D.C.
I'm sure he is. But I just want to know if Charlene is having a good time.
I think she is. I think Charlene's enjoying all the. I know they've gone to several balls already up there and
good
dinners and such. So I think she's having a good time. But yeah, he's been enjoying being up there, and I know he said that the vibes are high, the excitement is high up there. He's been getting to talk to some of the congressmen and such up there, so he's getting a good feel on how everything is. So yeah, make sure to stay tuned later in the show so you can hear him call in and hear from his own words. But yeah, the inauguration, we'll give our thoughts on that, because obviously that is the story dominating today, and rightfully so. Trump gave a 29-minute speech after his swearing in, and, you know, my initial thoughts was it was a great speech. It was a very pragmatic and focused and directed speech of what he will do under this administration, and, you know, he didn't ramble. He didn't do his, quote, weaves that he does. He was very, like I said, pragmatic and focused on what he wants to accomplish. Some of those things being a bit crazy, obviously, to some people, like him wanting to take back the Panama Canal, but I think that's awesome. Also, apparently one of the executive orders is him renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. So I didn't even know how that process would go, but I guess it's just that easy. Just sign an executive order. But yeah, it was one of the best Trump speeches I've ever heard, in the sense of he didn't sound like he was rambling. It was very pragmatic and focused. Emily, I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but that was my initial thoughts.
I mean,
he was very focused.
That's what it needed to be. Mm-hmm. That's what it needed to be. It didn't, you know, we talked about it on the Dale Jackson Show this morning on WVNN about how long we thought it would be. Dale was saying that he thought it would be 2 hours. I think I said an hour and 17 minutes, but it was, what'd you say, 32 minutes?
29 minutes.
29 minutes, 32 minutes was his second speech in the Emancipation Hall. But it's what it needed to be. And with the divisiveness in the country right now, it just, what's that old saying? Just stick to the facts. Just the facts, man. Just the facts. So he just stuck to it. This is what we're going to do. He had some subtle jabs in there, taking some key phrases from speeches Biden has done and Obama has done, kind of working in a couple of phrases. I don't know if you caught that. Dan Bongino did and was having a field day with it. But it was what it needed to be. It focused on the things that he wants to do, clamping down on border crossings, increasing fossil fuel development, ending diversity and inclusion programs across the federal government. He laid it out there in black and white, and then he used his more colorful language at the more relaxed address to the overflow crowd. And I think that was the appropriate way to do things, since, I mean, essentially the crowds were split, right? Because you could only get like 600 people in that part of the rotunda, and they were expecting 250,000. So you wanted to address both crowds. And I feel like he did it in the right and appropriate way.
Yeah, I think so too. By the way, folks, I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain here. Unfortunately, if you want to call during while we're live during the segment, I will not be able to answer, because it's a single man show here in the studio today with me trying to host and run things. So, but if you want to call in during the break, we'll take your call gladly and hear your thoughts. But 833-687-4448, you can text it or call it. Let us know your thoughts, what you thought on the inaugural speech and the ceremonies as a whole, what your favorite parts of the speech were. You know, another part that I really liked was, I didn't even know that this would be an executive order that he would do, but apparently he's signing an executive order to officially declare the United States only recognizes two genders, which is pretty cool that's something you could just make an executive order. So that's officially going to be into law pretty much. You know, other great funny moments where he talked about that, you know, he used the term manifest destiny to wanting to go to Mars, which they panned Elon, and he was pretty happy about that there. It was a good mix of very focused and pragmatic stuff of like declaring a national emergency at the border, the gender issue, like I said, trying to bring down prices, but then also, you know, sort of the more fun, but also I think somewhat possible options like the Panama Canal, potentially trying to take that back, and then starting the process of trying to look forward to Mars to eventually, you know, have some people land on Mars and plant the American flag, he said, on there. So it had a good mix of cool, optimistic, and fun stuff like that, but also very focused and pragmatic things that the American people care about. And yeah, it was also very fun to see Joe Biden and Kamala Harris sitting front row to watch it all. You know, it was normally frowns from them. They only stood up and clapped a couple of times. It was generally not them looking very happy.
I am pretty sure that Joe Biden nodded off. And I don't say that just to make a joke, like, ha ha, sleepy Joe. But I was watching it downstairs in the studio, and I thought for a second maybe he just had his eyes focused down at the program in his lap. But no, that was the, like, I've seen my brother-in-law nod off in church.
Yes.
Snooze. Yeah. And that's what I saw.
You know, that I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, you know, speaking of Biden, he had some blanket pardons they tried to sneak in there. I think at midnight last night, he put a preemptive pardon on the January 6th committee, General Milley and Liz Cheney, I believe. Oh, it was Fauci. Fauci was the other one in there. So they tried to sneak that in. But then also, like 30 minutes before Trump's inauguration even started, they announced preemptive pardons of pretty much, I think it was the entire Biden family.
Biden family.
Yeah. So we'll cover that in the show as well, because that's a little crazy that they're just trying to sneak those in, you know, under the inauguration headlines. Not only, you know, do it at midnight last night to hope nobody sees. And then, oh, by the way, literally the last thing we're going to do when we're in office before Biden dips out is we're going to preemptively pardon every member of the Biden family, which, if you need to do that, I mean, if the Biden family is so innocent and didn't commit crimes like, you know, they claim they haven't, then what's the need for preemptive pardons? You know, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, like I said, we're going to cover that later on in the program. But right now, we just want to hear y'all's thoughts and see what y'all think about the inauguration and the ceremony itself. 833-687-4448 is the text line. We can also call it, but try to call it during the breaks where I'll be able to answer that, because like I said, it's sort of a one-man show here in the studio, but I greatly appreciate it, and we will gladly take y'all's thoughts if you want to call in. But right now, we're going to take a quick time out before we come back, and then also, reminder real quick, 2:30 to 3, somewhere in that range, Phil will be calling in to give his thoughts if you want to stay tuned for that. But we're going to take a quick time out. This is Right Side Radio with host JP and Emily Hayes filling in for Phil while he's having the time of his life up in D.C. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. If I had the opportunity to go, I would too. But we're holding down the ship for him down here for now. So make sure to stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Right Side Radio here on this inauguration day, January 20th, 2025. Also, I heard it called Take America Back Day. And we are all for that here at Right Side Media. And We got a text in, by the way, that asked if we could get Phil in to call into the show and give us his thoughts. And actually, yes, next segment, Phil will be calling in from D.C. to let us know his thoughts and sort of the vibes, what he's seeing up there, what he's hearing. So, yeah, make sure to stay tuned for that. Phil will be calling in next segment. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. This is JP here with Emily Hayes filling in for Phil while he's up in D.C. rubbing elbows with everybody up there. And I can't blame him if I had a chance to do that, too. I would. So we can't blame him for that, but we're holding down the ship down here while he's up there. Some texts that came in during last segment, Scott from Somerville texted in and said that Trump's first order as commander-in-chief, all branches of service will have to wear a Trump wig as part of their uniform. They're going to call it, quote, hell to pay. Hell to pay. That's good.
Okay.
next, Scott from Athens, he said, considering all the things they have done to Trump, he's been very magnanimous. He beat them. The jabs he threw during his speech were well-deserved. I applaud the jabs. Yeah, that's true. And Emily mentioned, too, apparently he made some references to Biden and Obama and their speeches that they gave. I didn't catch that at the moment, but when I look back, I did see that. And apparently Bongino caught it, too, and noticed it right away.
There's
like
some key phrasing that they used in their speeches that he slipped in. Very clever.
Yeah,
smart.
I mean, it's kind of like the debate with him and Kamala, where he goes, "Excuse me, I'm speaking," yeah, and give it right back to her. He has a good memory of all that stuff. Brian from Huntsville also texted in and said, "The Gulf of America is perfect. North America, Central America, and South America applied to that body of water, not just Mexico." And they said, "America." Yeah, I like it. I like it indeed, too. JP and Emily from John from Huntsville says, "JP and Emily, I thought the best part of the inauguration ceremony was seeing Carrie Underwood performing America the Beautiful a cappella after somebody messed up the music. She's a much better singer than Taylor Swift." Yeah, that was pretty weird. But I didn't know what the technical issue was at the time, but I think her doing it without the music was almost better with everybody singing along to it.
Yeah, it was a very powerful moment. I think you can look back on it, maybe feel that it's a very unifying moment, because at the end of the day, we're all Americans.
Yeah,
that was a powerful moment. That'll be one that's looked back on often, I believe.
Yeah, and yeah, I think it sounded much better with everybody singing along without the music. It was right after Trump's speech, too. It was sort of symbolic. Jeff from Indiana texted and he said he thinks that Phil went to D.C. to warm up. He said it was 6 degrees when he left Indiana this morning and the wind was blowing pretty hard. D.C. is always warm with all the hot air flowing out of there. They are the largest contributors to global warming. Yeah, that's...
Listen, I know Jeff from Indiana listens to Dale's show as well.
Yeah.
Jeff from Indiana is a connoisseur of talk radio. Jeff, it was 11 degrees here this morning. It felt like 2 degrees, and it was awful.
Yeah, and Phil going up to D.C., he didn't escape the cold, but if he stayed here, he'd almost be colder. So, you know, at least be cold and get to watch the inauguration, I guess. Frank from Huntsville texted and said, "With Biden preemptively pardoning all these people, it means they cannot plead the fifth if Congress wants to question them," I think is what he's trying to say. Yeah, that's true. You know, Fauci, if for some reason he gets to testify before Congress again, he cannot plead the fifth to anything. So he cannot lie under oath, which, you know, I think he did last time. I know he's testified a couple of times, and I think it's pretty obvious he wasn't telling all of the truth, at least. So that is a positive side of it. We'll see if they try to capitalize on that or if they just try to move things on and try to just move past Fauci and all that. I know Trump called out Milley in his speech I can't remember what hall it was afterwards where he was speaking to his supporters. He called out Milley and didn't know why Biden was trying to protect him. It's just weird. If these people are innocent, like you claim, not only just Milley, but the whole Biden family, like what they preemptively pardoned, then what's the need to preemptively pardon them? And if they're going to question that Trump is going to, you know, go after his political opponents with lawfare, that's exactly what they did to Trump for 4 years while Biden was in office.
They don't like it when it's turned back on them.
No.
Nobody would. So they've got some safeguards in place to take care of them because they know what they did within the realm of the law and what they did outside of the law to get things done and to take him down or attempt to take him down. So they are, it's a little CYA move.
Well, they also took Milley's portrait down right away when Trump came into office. So it's funny how fast it has been. Pretty cool, not just with Milley, but talking about how fast things are happening with Trump already. Within 11 minutes after Trump, as his inauguration was over, they already had the ports of entry closed, along the southern border with patrol officers and riot gear, and like just like that, right when Trump, and then obviously signing executive orders to declare a state of emergency. Like, this is stuff, the Trump agenda is getting started right away. They're not waiting. They're not messing around. Right away, they're securing the border and doing everything that needs to be done. So that's been a very positive
sign. That's what he pledged to them.
Yep.
That's what he pledged to everyone that voted for him. It's, well, you know what? Not just everyone that voted for him. That's what he pledged to this country. These are the things that I'm going to do, and I'm not going to waste time doing it. Because in a way, you have to think about it. He's got X amount of time in office. He has to start the second that he's in there to get it back to where it was the first time, and then to build on that. So he has to start right out of the gate.
Yeah, if he wants any time to achieve the things that, it's almost like right now he's getting undoing the mess that Biden did. It's like right away, the border and everything that Biden overturned when they got in, get that started right away. So then you have much more time to go after new stuff, you know, maybe Greenland or, you know, stuff like that. The more fun stuff that is on Trump's agenda, get the stuff that you have to do out of the way first, like securing the border and, you know, stuff like that. It's almost like making up for lost time that Biden, you know, screwed around with during the 4 years he was in office. So, yeah, I agree completely. And it's a much more focused Trump administration this time. It's almost like he needed to be out of office to gain momentum so he can come in and plow through, you know. So this is almost a more focused and energized Trump administration than last time when he was in office. So maybe, you know, the 4 years did him well in that way. He had more time to think about how he wants things to be done. But also he's been up there and knows the mistakes he made last time with certain people he appointed and such. So it's almost like a clearer agenda. And yeah, they're getting running on day one, not even just day one, like literally 10 minutes after his inauguration.
Hour one.
Yeah, hour one, like minute 10, you know, into the administration. It's been pretty impressive to see. But John from Harvest texted and said, "Hey, JP and Emily, happy DJT Day. It feels so great to finally be unburdened by what has been. And it was a great pro move by Carrie Underwood during the ceremony." Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
Completely. Well, we're going to take a quick timeout, and Phil will be calling in next segment to let us know his thoughts on the inauguration from D.C. So make sure to stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. And we are back. It's Right Side Radio here on this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful inauguration day, covering down on all of the issues. And we are so glad that the Joe Biden presidency is over and the Donald Trump presidency is back. And it started today on January 20th, 2025. And right now on the line, we got host Phil Williams, who was not able to come here today because he's up in D.C. having a good time with everybody up there watching the inauguration and rubbing elbows with all the important people up in D.C. So, but we want to know his thoughts on everything and see what he's feeling up there, sort of the vibes and everything up in D.C. right now. So he's on the line right now. Phil, how are you and Charlene enjoying things up in D.C. watching the inauguration?
Hey, man, listen, it has been something else. Just being here, the air has got kind of an electricity to it. And, yeah, Charlene and I, we are, like, worn out, tired, but all's good. And we actually, you know, everything changed. When they moved it inside, everything changes. It doesn't matter what you had ticket for. You at that point, you had to have a new plan. And we've known Congressman Adderholt for quite a long time, and we were able to get an opportunity to go to just join some other constituents from his district in the 4th Congressional District to watch it from his office in the Cannon Office Building next to the Capitol. Literally had a view of the Capitol right out the window, because he has a premier office. He's got seniority, and so he had a great view. Anyway, we just had a great time being there with friends and talking and just watching the whole thing transpire, and I got a lot of thoughts on how that whole situation, the inaugural today, went down.
Well, yeah. First question, you know, I've seen a lot of liberals talking about how they moved the inauguration indoors because Trump was afraid of a lack of crowd that was going to be there. But well, with you being up there, has the cold, you know, stopped anybody from showing up? I know there was tons of people at his rally last night.
Oh, listen, Charlene and I walked around last night. And to me, part of the whole just, you know, amazing atmosphere were the people that were willing to wait in line for a chance to be inside the arena. Originally, we had tickets to be in the arena, and then they did away with tickets. I don't know who made that decision, but suddenly we had no tickets, and so we weren't going to stand out there. But there were people who stood out there almost overnight. Wow. In Arctic weather. And listen, don't let anybody tell you it wasn't cold. It was freezing. We had to walk a ways today just to get to a place because of all the road closures to get an Uber to take us to where our meeting point for the Grestel office was. And it was massively cold. But no, I haven't seen any damper enthusiasm. And that's just crap. The idea that Trump moved it indoors to avoid the image of it. Listen, he won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. He took every one of the swing states. He has the biggest mandate. He shut down a first-term presidency of the Biden-Harris administration. He just shut it down completely. And no, he owned today. And truth be told, there would have been a huge crowd out there, cold or not. The entire world was – we literally have sat in our hotel lobby and visited with people from Canada, Montana, a lot from Alabama. Every state in the nation is here, and it would have been quite the scene.
Yeah, well, Jeff from Indiana texted and said you went up to D.C. to warm up, said that it's colder down here than it is up there. So, it's been pretty cold down here today, I must say. But yeah, I mean that I've seen videos of that too, of people just being everywhere. Like the crowd of people to get into the rally was massive, and the amount of people that were around DC just in general today I've seen has been massive, even with the bad weather and the cold and such. But in terms of the speech itself, Trump gave a 29-minute speech, which I thought was very focused and pragmatic, and what the speech needed to be. I think it was sort of the good Trump, not the rambling, weaving Trump where people were struggling to keep up. He was very pragmatic and focused on what he wants to do in this administration. But what were your thoughts on the speech when you heard it?
Well, several thoughts. First of all, I think he nailed it. He came out and he said the golden age of America is back, and that just set the tone for going forward. And I loved the content. But here's one of the first things that struck me: as he began to make this speech, it was no holds barred. He was not going to be deferential to the outgoing administration, but he was not rude. But he was not going to pull punches. And I got to thinking about it. Why would he? He has every mandate to say what he's saying. He also, by the way, has had his life turned upside down. He's, between lawfare and two assassination attempts, one of which made him bleed and killed another bystander, and then trying to crush his businesses, trying to crush his family, trying to destroy his very soul. The fact is, he needed to say those things with Biden and Harris sitting right next to him. And I think the world needed to hear him say those things. But I thought the way he said it was professional and direct and really somewhat presidential if you get down to it.
Yeah, I agree. Having Kamala sitting right next to him during that whole speech was poetic. And there's also parts where Joe maybe was nodding off and looking down. So that also fell right in line with everything we've seen for 4 years. But yeah, the very direct, and apparently he made reference to stuff that Biden and Obama said during their speeches, sort of poking fun at them, sort of the terminology. I think the common sense thing was something Biden said in his speech, I think. So, yeah, he's not only going at him, but he's pulling receipts, too, and pointing things out. But I'm impressed with the executive orders. And I want to know what your thoughts on this. Literally 10 minutes after the inauguration began, the border was secure in the sense of they had patrol officers shutting down portals of entry and had riot gear to stop anybody from coming in. Literally, the Trump agenda is starting right now, like not even 10 minutes after he came into office. And he's signing executive orders and such. How impressed are you that it's starting literally right now, like not even 10 minutes after he got sworn in? Right away, his agenda is starting to take place.
Yeah. And it should. And I think you have to do that. Catch them before they have a chance to figure out how to do something to mess it up. And I'll tell you, I'll go one step further, too, JP. I saw a report as we sat in our forever Uber ride trying to get through the snarls of traffic back to our hotel. I saw one report that said that the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol app that Biden's administration created, so you can fill out your paperwork online and walk across the border. The app shut down 10 minutes after he was sworn in.
Wow.
Just on and on and on. That speech was just filled up, and it was red meat, but it was good. It was like it was red meat cooked well, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It was just literally things like there will be two genders as a policy. In the United States, there will be a return to common sense. There's going to be a restoration of the military. He's going to put the military on the southern border under Northern Command. He's on and on and on. I mean, the fact that he said drill, baby, drill in the middle of his speech, I was just, listen, I was on cloud nine. It was almost to the point of being emotional to hear this speech, because for 4 years, that's what I've done on Right Side Radio, is talk about this very day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very refreshing. And not only that, but also apparently one of the executive orders he'll be signing is to name it the Gulf of America officially. So that's just not a poke fun thing. Like, he's doing it right away, which is awesome. And, you know, the stuff that needs to happen right away, which I'm loving it. But have you seen any protests or anything like that going on up in D.C.? Has there been anything substantial of, you know, bad protests blocking traffic or something like that?
No, I haven't seen massive protests. I've seen one-off stuff. You know, we had somebody got into the halls of the congressional offices today and began shouting while we were there, and somebody else said, get up and lock the door. You know, so I don't know what that was about. We had somebody on the street who literally yelled in my ear, and you know, just all I could do was just keep Charlene close. And but those were one-offs. They didn't feel like anything organized. They felt like angry individual people. We did see there's a group out there on the near the Capitol grounds that brought a guillotine, and they, you know, they're putting up their signs. And then I posted a picture on Twitter of all the handmade, headbills that are stuck all over walls, all over the place, saying, you know, Trump supporters go home, trans haters go home, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The reality is, security here is like nothing I have ever seen before. There's over 5,000 National Guardsmen that have been deployed, and they're everywhere. I mean, and then I really feel like a part of the plan was not to announce which streets will be closed. Even our Uber drivers were confused, and they know the city like the back of their hands. But between road closures and blockades and fence lines, I mean, last night, Charlene and I, we had to walk back to our hotel about a mile in the snow and sleet, and we got to a point that we couldn't go any further, and we could almost see the turn to our hotel, and I had to ask a guy through the fence, what do we do? And he literally looked at me and goes, don't tell anybody I told you this, but go back a block and cut out and then walk down the street through the cars. And that's what we had to do.
Wow.
But security has been really impressive.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they had it indoors in the rotunda, because – I mean, me and Emily were talking about this off air. It's almost unfortunate you just sit back and think you almost wait for something bad to happen. You know, things are almost going too well. All right, when's the shoes going to drop? And of course, we saw somebody take an attempt at his life. But I think having it in the rotunda and all that, it's been nice. It feels like there's an extra measure of safety to keep anything like that from happening. So not only just for the cold, but I think for his safety, it's great that it was indoors in the rotunda. But I want to ask you too, before we take a time out here. Biden decides to pardon his whole family literally 30 minutes before Trump takes his inauguration speech. And then last night at midnight decides to preemptively pardon Fauci, the January 6th committee. And his last moments as president is him doing preemptive pardons, which he said in 2020 he would not do. What are your thoughts on that? Literally, I mean, I'm not kidding. 30 minutes before the ceremony started, his last action as president was pardoning his whole family. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, how small do these people look, right?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, how small and petty and conniving and hand-wringing do these people look? The very idea that the president is going to pardon his whole family? Who does that? Who says, we must have all really done some bad things, so we're going to pardon everybody in the family? You got a second cousin? Pardon them. Why not? And then the Fauci and Millie. And listen, Millie ought to be ashamed. Millie should never walk out in public again. That man is a former Green Beret, a Ranger. He's a combat diver. He's got, you know, a combat infantryman's badge from two wars. He supposedly got all the scare me badges on your uniform you could have to be someone who's brave and bold. And the first thing he does is say, thank you, President Biden, for giving me a pardon for things that no one's even indicted me on yet. Well, that tells me a lot about you, sir. It tells me a lot about your character. And I'm glad you no longer lead the troops. Because you don't need to be there. They need somebody in there who's got some brass. But the reality is, yeah, these pardons are gross. They're sycophantic, and I look at the whole thing and think they really ought to. It's like they're walking away with their tail between their legs, and truly they are really. And I'll tell you, JP, before we go, we can come back after the break if you want to. But One of my favorite moments was outside the window of the congressman's office. I posted a video on Twitter, and I think you posted it for me also that I uploaded to Dropbox. And if people didn't see it yet, watch all the way to the last 46 seconds or the last 10 seconds, because I zoomed in on the Capitol Dome with the flag and Marine One actually flying away, taking Biden away from the White House. And it was just like, oh, away from the Capitol, I mean. It was perfect.
It was very symbolic. Yeah, the video is great. If you haven't seen it, go to Phil's Twitter and check that out. In terms of the pardons, they've already taken down Milley's portrait from wherever it was hanging up in the Capitol, I assume. I bet Trump, right when he was off, that was probably one of the first things he had done, is have Milley's portrait taken down right away. So he's not holding back on that stuff either. Well, we're going to take a quick time out. And if you want to hold on during the break, it's your own show, so I guess you can do whatever you want. But yeah,
I will make the executive decision that I will hold on.
All right, great. This sounds good. We're going to take a quick break, though. We got Phil up in D.C. giving us the scoop on how everything's going, his thoughts on the inauguration ceremony and such. So stay tuned. We're going to get back to it next segment. So we'll take a quick time out. This is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. And we are back here live from the Right Side Studios. This is producer JP filling in for Phil today while he's up in D.C. enjoying the inauguration festivities. And he is currently on the line with us, letting us know what he's seeing up there and his thoughts on the inauguration ceremony and the speech and such. But Phil, I guess we'll get right back into it. You went to the governor's breakfast, and you've been hanging out with a lot of the Alabama congressmen up there in D.C. What are their feelings? You know, that obviously they got to be stoked to have a Trump presidency back and being able to serve under Trump and achieve his agenda. But just from you talking to them and being around them, what's the level of excitement like with the Alabama delegate up there?
Oh, it's definitely an elevated mood. I mean, listen, it's not just the Trump administration, which, you know, makes everything better, because when you pass a bill, you want to know it's not going to get vetoed. You also love having the fact that the Trump agenda is what you say you stand for. And I would say that the majority of Republicans are absolutely on board with this. There's going to be a few establishment types who are lukewarm to doing things that, you know, are too much into the conservative agenda. But I think they're few and far between. I mean, my sense is right now there is a robust desire to do the things that Trump talked about today, and to have pride in what they're doing. Alabama's delegation, with the exception of our two Democrats, both our senators and five of our congressional reps, are all very solid. I was with Barry Moore night before last at an event, and Congressman Moore is one of the Freedom Caucus members. He is just fired up and stoked. I was with Gary Palmer briefly at breakfast yesterday. He's absolutely ready to get moving. He's going to be on the show Wednesday, I believe. And then, of course, with Congressman Atterholt today. So it's been game on. It's got a game on mentality, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I mean, they've had to serve under the Biden administration for 4 years. They've got to be so stoked to finally have somebody back in that's willing to achieve, you know, some common sense. And they're going to have a lot of fun, I think, under this administration for sure. Well, we got about 3 minutes or about 2.5 minutes before we got to take a timeout. What would you like to say to the ruffians out there, and your thoughts, your excitement overall with this new golden era, the golden age coming back to America, and what he's wanting to achieve up from D.C.? What would you like to say to the ruffians about your thoughts on everything that's going on so far in an incoming Trump administration once again?
Well, you know, thanks, JP. And listen, by the way, thanks for holding down the fort and giving me a chance to do this. It's wonderful to know that I've got somebody that I trust to lead back there in the studio, and you do amazing work.
Appreciate it.
But you know, so here's one thing I would say. If there's anybody out there who, because of work or their schedule or something else, did not get a chance to see Trump's swearing-in ceremony speech, the actual inaugural speech, the moment after he, you know, took the oath of office, it is absolutely worth watching. If you believe in the conservative values that Right Side Ruffians typically stand for, that speech is everything you would want to hear. It's said in such a way that it's unequivocal. You know, there was never once any time in there where I thought, ooh, I wouldn't have said it that way. Not once. And I look at it and think it was a speech for the ages. But I'll also say too, what I love is the fact that he's got an entire administration right now that is built of people who were handpicked for the team. There's not the sense we had in 2016 where you're coming in hoping they can figure it out sometime soon. They're doing the best they can. They've never been here before. None of that. I hate to say that the interim was good for a Trump administration, but the interim between, you know, 2020 and now, what that did, though, was I think it straightened his backbone even more. I think it grew us the ability to have an administration that is unequivocal. I think we're going to see a whole lot more done in the 2024 Trump than we would have even in 2020, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So all said and done, I'm extremely optimistic. And this is what, you know, we started Right Side Radio not long after Biden got elected. We actually got approached to do this within a few months of Biden's election. It took a few more months to get us on the air. But I will say this. This is what we have been talking towards on the national level for the last several years. And now I get to talk about it happening on a daily basis. And so me personally, I'm charged.
Yeah, I mentioned this is the first ever Right Side Radio show under a Trump administration, and Phil's up in D.C. He's not even able to do the show from down here, but we appreciate him calling in, letting us know his thoughts and what he's seeing up there in D.C. We'll let you get back to the festivities, Phil, but we appreciate you coming on and letting us know your thoughts.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you. All right, well, we're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back continuing to break down all of the inauguration talk and the news of the day. It's Trump is back, and we're excited here at Right Side Radio, so stay tuned. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader. It's Right Side Radio here live from the Right Side Studios, covering the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, this is producer JP helping fill in for Phil while he is up in D.C. rubbing elbows with all of the important folks and catching in or pulling in all the inauguration stuff from D.C. So he's had the opportunity to go up there and watch the inauguration party with Congressman Adderholt and his watch party. He also had a good shot of Biden actually leaving on Marine One and posted a good video of that on his Twitter if y'all want to go check it out. But yeah, he just called in the last couple of segments and gave us his thoughts on the inauguration ceremony. If y'all want to go check it out, it's up on our podcast. And yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, he said he's, you know, had a great time up there, and that's a special opportunity. Even with the inauguration being indoors and not out in the cold, it's still been I bet it's still been pretty cool. And honestly, I think it was almost more beautiful for it to be in the rotunda, surrounded by all the statues and such. So yeah, and I think the left's narrative about there not being as many people show up to the inauguration, which is why they did it indoors, if Phil even said it for himself, it's just simply not true. The amount of people that showed up in the cold, even with the inauguration being indoors, was outstanding. So yeah, go check it out. Go check it out on a podcast and see what Phil's thoughts are up from D.C. Yeah, it was the first show under the presidential or Trump's presidency. Right Side Radio, and Phil was not able to host it, but he was still able to call in. And Mike from Florence actually texted in and said, "And I mistakenly thought I was going to get a day without Phil. Well, maybe tomorrow." Yeah, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, we got a Scott Bertram hosting the show tomorrow, so don't know if there will be a Phil appearance there tomorrow, but yep, there's that. We also got a text in from Gary from Decatur. He said, mainstream media was immediately commenting on how dark the president's speech was, except for the fact that the Biden-Harris administration provided all of the dark negative points that dominated the speech. Biden and Harris didn't stand and applaud very much, as most of the standing applause was for reversing their terrible policies. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, Emily. They're going with the narrative of this was the darkest and most, you know, selfish speech and president's U.S. president history, and it's just like, I didn't
know there's already been a count of how many times Barack Obama referred to himself in his inauguration speech, which I think it was 47 times. Trump referred to himself 3 times.
Yeah,
so it's if you don't go and look at it for yourself and just blindly trust both sides of the media, let's be honest, you're not going to be fully informed, and you're not going to be fairly informed. So when you hear something that seems outlandish or doesn't line up with the way that you perceived it when it was presented to you, go look for yourself and make sure you've got all the information so you can make an informed decision.
Well, I like the speech.
I didn't think it was dark at all. No. I thought he stuck to the facts. I was happy that it was, you know, under 30 minutes.
Yes.
Because he could have gone on and on and on and would have had every right to do so because this is his inauguration, right? Right. But he stuck to the points. He laid out what he's going to do for all Americans, not just, you know, it wasn't just, I'm only speaking to the people that voted to me. It wasn't divisive. It was, this is what we're doing. Roll Tide.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And I don't know. I don't know how long Biden's and Obama's speech were at the inauguration, but 29 minutes is pretty short, to be honest with you. I mean, especially for Trump. State of the Union.
By Trump standard, yeah.
The State of the Union address normally take like an hour and a half. And I mean, this inauguration was, it's like you said, it literally was like, thanks for voting me. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Get your pen and paper ready. Ready? Here we go. And that was it. I'm going to list out everything that I want to accomplish in this term, which in all fairness, I think that's how every inauguration speech should be. You know, the typical inauguration speeches have been the ceremonial, you know, thanks for voting for me. I'm going to be a president for every American. And it's just like a whole lot of nothing speech. And this was a pragmatic, authentic, here's what I'm going to do step by step. And that's how, I mean, the inauguration speech should be the president laying out to the people that voted for him and the people who didn't vote for him, this is what I'm going to accomplish in this administration. It doesn't have to be a la-di-da ceremonial nothing speech. And I think that's why they were upset, because it wasn't a nothing, you know, it wasn't a ceremonial backslapping speech of, yeah, I feel like right. That's normally given. It was a pragmatic and real, here's what I'm going to do speech. And they didn't like it. It wasn't dark. It was, I mean, this is the stuff, he said nothing new that he's been saying his whole campaign. And newsflash, the stuff that he said during that is exactly why people voted for him and he won the popular vote. So, you know, if you're going to get all up in arms that, you know, he said what he's going to do, that's the mandate America gave him because he won the popular vote by a lot. So just because you don't like what he said he's going to do doesn't mean it was dark and doesn't mean it was authoritarian like people are saying.
He didn't waste time because he needed to get to work. And we've already seen him get to work. And one of the first things that he signed before they even went to the luncheon was that on Inauguration Day, flags will be flown at full mast. But also in the text of that order, it says the flag will be lowered upon the end of this Inauguration Day for the remainder of the 30-day period honoring the memory of the late former President Jimmy Carter, which is through January 28th. So everyone that got all fired up about raising the flag on inauguration, he worked it into the language to make sure that it was lowered back down in honor of President Carter. And it also in that order, it said on every Inauguration Day, the flag is to be flown at full mast, which I personally feel is the right thing to do. I don't think it's a slight to former President Carter. But, you know, you never know in situations what steps you need to get things done or what, you know, until that situation appears or reveals itself. And this is one of those times where it hasn't happened in history before, to my knowledge, that the flag would have been lowered for the passing of a former president that coincided with Inauguration Day. So we've met this quote unquote obstacle and we've figured it out. We have the language in place now. We have a precedent for it. So let's move on from this.
Yeah. And by the way, that will be including Democratic president's inauguration. You know, like that'll be flown at full
right.
mast. It's not just a one-off for my inauguration, make it at full mast. It's for every inauguration. And like you said, that's how it should be. It's a historical event. We're bringing in a new president of the United States. I don't care if it's Obama. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care if it's Jimmy Carter or Reagan. It should be at full mast every single time. So, yeah, I agree. And the narrative was quickly Trump wanting to celebrate himself. But then, like you said, he put the language in the bill for every single inauguration here on out. And then they're going to go back to the rest of the period. So it's just coping at this point, honestly. And the reaction's been just about what I thought it would be, but they're all so easily debunked. And to be honest with you, it doesn't have the same effect like it used to because everybody's just tired of the left's narrative and the left's way of trying to, you know.
Everyone's tired of being told to be angry all the time.
Yeah.
It's exhausting because I don't know many people who are just always angry, mad, upset about everyday life. But when the majority of the media manufactures things for you to be pissed off about and stokes that fire every day, it's mentally exhausting, emotionally exhausting, physically exhausting to have to be angry at your leadership all the time and believe that they only want what's the worst for you, which is not the case.
Yeah, they're tired of the Hitler
talk. Nobody wants this country to fail. No. Nobody wants this country to fail. Democrats, Republicans, independents. Nobody wants to fail. And we have elections for a reason. And I said this during the election season. Every Sunday, we have a prayer in our church to pray for our elected officials, our presidents, our senators, our governors, everyone who represents us. And we say a prayer for them. And that doesn't matter if it's Joe Biden or if it's Donald Trump. It's a prayer that needs to be said because these are unenviable positions to be in, I think. You know, it takes a lot of having a servant's heart to go and serve the country in the military or in public office. So they need our prayers, Republican or Democrat, because we all need to succeed. This country needs to succeed. It needs to be strong. I feel like we are under the leadership now to return to having that international strength position. So,
yeah,
it's just there's no reason to be angry or mad. We can all get positive and get behind supporting our country and supporting our elected officials.
Well, every part of that speech was just inherently pro-American. And it's exactly, like I said, it's exactly the mandate that America gave him to do what he said he's going to do. So if you, guess what? If you didn't like what he said, you're in the minority now. So America voted for him to come into office and do exactly what he said in the speech, which is, you know, secure the border, bring back down inflation, and start to push America forward in the sense of, you know, we've seen a shift from Russia and China to try to, you know, build a global currency outside of the dollar. Getting stuff like the Panama Canal back will help that greatly. It'll also help bring in tons of money. Like, you can't even fathom how much money America's lost ever since Panama took that canal from us, and we gave it to them, and now China is controlling it. So that's to get it back under control to where China doesn't have control of that. And America built it in the first place, by the way. That helps push America forward. Also, you know, stuff like trying to purchase Greenland. That's not authoritarian. That's manifest destiny, and it would help America to try to get around Russia's growing influence in that area. And so, you know, stuff like that is pro-America. It's not anti-America. And if you're against it, not only are you in the minority, but you're simply not pro-American, because that's all that stuff is. So, you know, him carrying out the mandate of the people that they put him in office for, the first Republican to win the popular vote, I think it was like in, what, 20, 25 years, that sends a message that America wants change. So if you don't like it, then you're in the minority, and America's ready to move forward, and they voted for this. So buckle up and get ready. Brian from Huntsville, by the way, before we take a break, he texted in and asked, who is Phil pulling for in the national championship game tonight, Notre Dame or Ohio State? You too, JP. Well, I think he said last show when we talked JP on sports, he wants Notre Dame to win. So I would be pretty confident to say he's pulling for Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. I'm also pulling for Notre Dame. However, I think Ohio State will win pretty convincingly tonight. They're just playing too good. So we'll see if the Irish can pull it off. But I would count on a Buckeyes win tonight, unfortunately. We're going to take a quick timeout, and then when we come back, we're going to continue talking about Trump's inauguration speech, the reactions to it, also these preemptive pardons that are just absolutely crazy. Biden on his way out giving his whole family a pardon is just absurd. So make sure to stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. And we are back here, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right here on this inauguration day. Man, it's a good day. I feel like the sun's just shining even brighter. Everything is so much happier now that Trump is back in office. Well, we're still breaking down everything and processing everything that happened today, from the inauguration speech to, you know, the ceremony itself, stuff like Biden, you know, pardoning his whole family on the way out, as well as the January 6th committee, Fauci, all of that nonsense. So, yeah, we're here to digest it all with you. By the way, text us in 833-687-4448. Let us know. I'm curious to know what your favorite part of the Trump inauguration speech was, whether it was talking about declaring the border a national emergency, the Gulf of America, trying to take back the Panama Canal, colonizing Mars, any of it. Hey, well, whatever your favorite part of Trump's inauguration speech was, let us know your thoughts, and we'll read that out over the air gladly. We had a text in from John from Harvest. He said, I agree. This was definitely not a dark speech. You know who else would have loved that speech? John F. Kennedy. This is the sequel to his ambitious vision for America's future, in America itself, around the world, and in space. And if you haven't checked, check out whitehouse.gov. Yeah, I saw whitehouse.gov already got rid of Biden's portrait on the main page and put a portrait of Trump and said America's back. So they did not waste time with that. That's pretty awesome. Flip from Priceful texted in. He said, who owns Greenland? So technically, I think Denmark... Well, I think it's kind of complicated. I think Denmark technically would be the country, if you want to say, would own it, but it's still not, it's not technically a part of Denmark. I don't know exactly how it works, but I think Denmark would be the country that America would be negotiating with to try to make a purchase of Greenland. But obviously Greenland and the Greenland people would have to be for it as well, which I think most of them are.
Well, I don't know that most of them are. There's not as many of them as you think.
That's true.
And
I mean, the city of Madison's bigger.
Danes, right, yeah, right. But ultimately, it's up to them. I'm not really sure what the Danes have to say about it. Danes, right? Denmark, Danish,
yeah, the
Danes?
I think it's the Danes.
Is
yeah.
that right?
Denmarkians, Danes,
Danes.
Whatever.
Yeah. We had someone on VNN talking about, I don't know why they called it Greenland, because it's just a bunch of ice. And I just wanted to be like, dude, that's why. It was like one of the first big marketing things is, it's not like you have drone photos yeah. to show you what Greenland really looks like. You know, you sail around the world, you find this chunk of ice, but you need to send people to it, right? It's got some kind of good for you. So you're like, oh, Greenland, we'll call it Greenland. And then you look at Iceland, yeah. and it's like, these two, yes, they should be flipped. However, someone was smart in which ones they wanted to colonize and which one they wanted people to stay away from.
Yeah, the land block of ice is Greenland, and then the pretty block of green is called Iceland. It's and they're right next to each other. But I mean, with all the ice, still Greenland, the amount of resources they have is pretty crazy. So
right,
this would
right.
This would be one of the biggest accomplishments I think a president could take on if Trump was able to get Greenland. The Panama Canal would rival it too. I mean, I think the annexation of Canada is pretty much a no-go, but still, you know, I think Greenland is definitely in the realm of possibilities. We'll see about the Panama Canal. I know the president of Panama put out a statement saying that they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep it. So we'll see. I mean, we built the dang thing and then, you know, gave it to them.
When they say things like we're willing to do whatever it takes to keep it, is this Trump's genius behind it all to say, hey, we're going to come take it, when all he really wants is to have them tighten up?
So that I've talked about this with Phil before. This is a genius part of Trump's strategy. He starts at the extreme end of things, as far as he can go. We want the Panama Canal back. So then when they're like, no, obviously not, he's going to go, oh, okay, well, then can you at least have China not take over? And they would see that as like, okay, yeah, that seems fair. So when he starts so far and it's like, okay, mm-hmm. fine, I won't take it, but can you at least do this? It seems like he's conceding, but ultimately he's still getting a great deal out of it. Yeah, I agree. I think that's part of Trump's
negotiations. That's what it is, though, right? The art of the deal?
Yeah, that's literally the art of, yeah, he talks about it in the art of the deal. It's master negotiating, but then, of course, liberals who can't even grasp how to negotiate, and we saw how Biden did negotiating, they see it as he's going to go to war with Panama. Obviously not, okay? Like, he's running off of a narrative of stopping and ending wars, so why would he start a war with Panama? It doesn't make any sense. It's pure negotiation. But then if Panama, it's like it's a win-win. Either Panama just says, okay, yeah, you can have it back, or they say no, but we'll you know, get China out, we'll tighten it up, and we'll make it better. It's a win-win in both scenarios, so... Yeah, I think it's a part of his negotiation for sure. And Flip from Priceful also texted in and said, do you think it would become a state or a territory? I think it would become a territory. We can't take another state. It would break the filibuster. I don't think that would help things. Well, the music's playing. We're going to take a quick timeout and keep reading y'all's texts and start breaking down more of this inauguration talk and everything that's going on. It's I feel like more stuff is happening by the hour. So stay tuned. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back here. This is Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. This is producer JP helping fill in for Phil while he's up in D.C. taking in all of the inauguration festivities, rubbing elbows with everybody important up at D.C. We've been breaking down all of the inauguration talk, the news of the day, the ceremony itself, the speech itself, some of his goals that he laid out during his speech that I think they were awesome, and I think most Ruffians agree that he nailed it with that inauguration speech. Only 29 minutes, which was seemed to be the perfect amount. He was very pragmatic and focused on what he wants to do in this administration. 833-687-4448 to text in. Let us know your thoughts on everything that's been going on today. It's been, there's a litany of things to choose from to text about, so let us know your thoughts, and we'll read them out over the air. Lee from Huntsville texted in. He said, "I don't believe you can buy a country per international law. We could encourage Greenland to become sovereign and then nail down deals for expanded military bases, drilling, mining, etc. He's negotiated deals for decades and knows to start with the ridiculous and move towards the real goal. You never start with your actual goal. This is business 101. Yeah, exactly. I think you nailed it with that. He's not going to lay out what he wants to do. You start out with the best case scenario for you and then work backwards. So yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Jeff from Indiana also texted and he said, "Actually, Greenland used to be somewhat green, or not too many years ago. Here's what the internet says. The medieval warm period, 900 to 1300 AD. Viking records suggest that Greenland was warmer and greener than it is today." Well, there you go.
Well, I'll be.
So maybe it was green at one point. Brian from Huntsville texted in and said, "Panama Canal, easy. Dust off the retired Iowa-class battleships and run them through the canal and anchor them in the canal fully armed." And then say, quote, "None shall pass." That's certainly a method to go. I think that would be pretty provocative, but it would certainly get the job done, I think. But yeah, I think the ultimate consensus is we can't have China continue to dictate things in the Panama Canal like that, especially when we built it and gave it to Panama for neutrality, and they agreed to the neutrality, but it's not been neutral. And whatever Panama wants to say, it's simply not been neutral, and China's been able to dictate things through there. So that cannot continue. By the way, folks, if you want to call in, unfortunately, this is a one-man show here in the studio, so I want to be able to take your calls while we are during a segment. But if you want to call it during the break, we would take your call and greatly appreciate your interaction. But yeah, unfortunately, if you're having to produce the show and run the show today, won't be able to take calls while we're mid-segment. So yeah, just make sure to call in during the break. I'd greatly appreciate it. Emily, we were talking about Trump's doing all of his ceremonial stuff today. He's he's making the rounds, doing everything possible everywhere in D.C. It seems like those car doors are pretty dang thick on there, aren't they? Like they,
we just saw him get into the Cadillacs, to leave the Capitol. You can see the motorcade now if you're watching on television. But to see those doors open and so incredibly thick is just another visual reminder of what this man, whether you like him or not, what he has gone through in an effort to serve the nation. Two assassination attempts. Maybe I've just never noticed how thick those doors are, how thick the glass is or whatever, but those just seemed.
Yeah, they were. They're
big honking security doors. And you know what? Great. Because JP and I talked about this before we even went on the air today. I said, I just have this feeling, I just have this, this inkling, this little pit in my stomach that I'm almost waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like I need this whole day to be over and ended before I don't feel like something could happen. And like, I'm glad it was moved into the rotunda. I feel like there could be extra levels of security there rather than being outdoors. But then the flip side of that is you think about all these other places where supporters are watching the stream of events today in local restaurants in D.C., at the Capital One Arena with all the speakers, just opportunities for evil to rear its ugly head. And God bless the men and women in Washington, D.C. that are efforting to keep everyone safe as they enjoy this historic process.
Yeah, and like you said, I think it just illustrates the gravity of, the man has survived one attempt on his life. There was a second attempt that was foiled when he was at his own golf course. This is, it just reminds you of the risk that he's taking he's putting his neck out on the line for the country. He doesn't have to do this. The man has more than enough money to just chill out Mar-a-Lago and, you know, after his first term, and you know, after all that happened in 2020, he could have very well just stayed at Mar-a-Lago and said, I'm done with this. But he decided to run again.
Nobody would have faulted him for that.
Yeah, and he decided to get up off the mat and have the greatest political comeback in history for America. And I mean, a man that does not love America does not do that. So whatever your thoughts on Trump are, this is the narrative that it's because he's so narcissistic. I've seen this too, that he's doing this for his own, you know, pats on the back and his own narcissism, that he wants to be celebrated. A man does not put his neck on the line and literally get shot in the head and then keep going if he does not love his country and do what he believes needs to be done in America to help save America and truly make America great again. This is not a man that is doing it for his own, you know, getting praise. This is a man who loves his country, and he even said it in the speech. He said that he believes God saved him from the assassination attempt so he can make America great again, and that's what he's doing right now. He got up off the mat after they tried to bury him and made that comeback because he loves America. And I mean, the amount of measures that need to be taken because people want to take him out proves it. And the you know, even something from like how thick the doors are, it just points to the threat that this man is taking on. And he's taking on that risk for America.
And not just Trump, but his entire family. Yes, his entire family, you know, is... And that's what happens when you have a controversial figure, whether they're president or not. You know, the whole family can be put in the crosshairs at time. And that's scary. And I can only imagine the conversations that are had amongst the members of the Trump family. We saw Laura Trump speak at a Republican event a couple of months back. We were there with Phil and Charlene, and you know, she indicated that they discuss all of this as a family, and they make plans for it as a family, and they make sure they're all strong enough and have enough internal family protocols in place to be able to withstand all of this again. You know, it's bad enough what's said in the off season, if you will, but now there's right back in it, right back in the thick of everything, and they're going to be, you know, the targets of a lot of jokes, a lot of scrutiny, rarely any praise if it goes like it did before. The motorcade has arrived at Capital One Arena, so everyone there getting prepped and ready for Donald Trump's arrival. I'm sure he'll speak for quite some time to all of these supporters that are queued up there to see him. They've been enjoying a lot of different speakers today. Kash Patel, Elon Musk, a lot of folks have addressed what looks like to be a full Capital One Arena.
Oh yeah,
based off of what I'm seeing on television.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, back to what you were talking about, I think the fact that Trump, it almost, and Phil mentioned this too, the interim period almost needed to happen because Trump got knocked down, and he got knocked down hard in the sense of what happened with January 6th, everybody calling him an insurrectionist, and obviously Joe Biden becoming the president, the indictments in Georgia, in New York, the, you know, documents case, the you know, the hush money case, all of that, being a convicted felon, having that thrown at him like crazy. The momentum it took to get back up off of the mat, I think, was needed because, you know, you have the momentum, and he almost got more people behind him. And then put on that, the cherry on top, I think, for that was the assassination attempt. I think that was the final push that Trump needed to not only take back the White House, but start his agenda with momentum. Like, this was truly a Trump train, with Elon joining his side and Zuck eventually coming back, Zuckerberg coming to the light, you know, Jeff Bezos as well. The amount of support that came behind him after he got up off the mat and endured what he endured was almost needed to, you know, come into the White House with a full head of steam and take back America with the momentum that is needed, and to get the stuff that needs to get done first, get done fast, so then he can focus on, you know, moving the country forward instead of just undoing the mess that Joe Biden left him, which is what he's doing right now with securing the border. And, you know, so I think that interim period was almost needed so that he could come in with full momentum. And, you know, the Trump train truly plowed through the White House. And, you know, on top of that, too, it's almost like the attacks from the left don't hit like they used to, because they just don't have the support that they used to. People are ready to move on, and people are hopping on board the Trump train like crazy. The first Republican to win a popular vote in 20-something years. So the attacks you know, it was almost like common knowledge to people, like, oh yeah, you know, Trump's crazy. It's not common knowledge really anymore because he won the popular vote. So if you are not on board with Trump, you're in the minority now. So it's, you know, the left's attacks don't hit like they used to. They don't have the same sting.
Right.
And
going to the text line, you've got John Paul saying, now that Donald Trump is president, will the media be nicer to him or will they continue to bash him every day? I feel like they're going to have to go back to being somewhat impartial and just presenting the news.
Self-correct a little
bit. If they want to survive. If they want to survive, they're going to have to go back to being what journalism is supposed to be. Now, if they can remember how to do that, great. If not, they're going to have a bad time. And JP, you were talking about how Phil said something about we needed this time away from Trump. The country needed the time away from Trump to see everything. It makes me think of that 80s song. I know you may not know it because you're so very young, but it's like, don't know what you got. Till it's gone.
I actually know what song you're talking about. Yep.
You do?
Yes, sir.
For like the Monster Ballads commercial. But yeah, so you have to have that time away. I've described it as kind of like, as far as the way the world views the United States right now, or at least under Biden, you just look at the things that have happened since the election and how we've gotten to a ceasefire and how, you know, things are changing in different leaderships, you know, with the Canadian prime minister situation. It's like your parents have been gone and they told you to do your chores before they got home. And you're in that last hour before they get home and you have a whole house to clean.
Yeah.
Like, my parents are coming home. I've got to get things done. I'm scared of them. I'm not so worried about having not had anybody in control for some time.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree completely. And I think America, I think they will still bash him, mainstream media, but ultimately I think they're going to have to self-correct a little bit when they realize that Trump is Hitler, insurrectionist, just doesn't work anymore. So I think ultimately they'll see the market and self-correct a little bit. Not at first. I think they'll still bash him at first, but hopefully eventually they'll tone it down a hair because they realize people aren't latching on anymore like they used to. A couple more texts real quick before we go to break. David Abuckies, he texted in and said, JP, what are your thoughts on Biden's preemptive pardons for family members and others? Seems to me that if they aren't guilty of anything, why would a pardon be necessary? Yeah, I agree 100%. It's disgusting, really. And actually, I bookmarked this quote on Twitter that Jake Tapper posted. This was in December of 2020, okay? Before Biden came into office, Jake Tapper asked President-elect Biden about the rumor that Trump may issue some preemptive pardons before leaving office. And Biden, quote, said, "You're not going to see me do that. I'm scared of the precedent that it would set." But now here we are, 4 years later, four years and a month. And Biden is doing exactly what he said Trump would do. And Trump didn't do it. And Biden is doing it, pardoning Fauci, J6 committee, Milley, and then his whole family, literally pardoning his whole family 30 minutes before Trump went into the inauguration. So the exact last action that Biden had as president was pardoning his own family, who claims to be innocent. So yeah, I agree 100%. If there's no crime done, then what's the need of a pardon? It's pretty disgusting and crazy. Well, we're going to take a quick timeout before we come back and read off some more of y'all's texts. 833-687-4448. Let us know your thoughts on the inauguration, and we'll gladly read those out. So we're going to take a quick timeout. Like I said, this is Right Side Radio, and we'll be right back. And we are back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And happy Inauguration Day to every Right Side ruffian out there. It is truly a celebratory day. We've been waiting for this day for 4 years now, and it's finally among us. So it's worthy of celebration for sure. Well, me and Emily were just talking in the break about how Trump is now about to show up at the Capitol One Arena, and he's already got more executive orders sitting on a table in the middle of the arena, ready to sign in front of everybody. So I think this points to Trump's transparency towards the American people. And I don't know if a president has ever done a rally or something to sign executive orders. This is definitely a new thing under Trump, I think, but I love it because I think it shows to the American people, I'm not just talking it. I'm walking the walk, and I'm doing what I said I was going to do, and I'm gonna do it right in front of you for all to see. And so I think that is awesome for Trump to do that in front of all of his in front of all of the people that voted for him and wanted that mandate to be done. They see it getting done right in front of them.
Especially after this last year of wondering where Biden was.
Yeah.
like not seeing President Biden be presidential, be in a place of power or control, just hearing about things that were done but not seeing them. I think this is a really smart move from Trump. I mean, the man's a marketing genius.
Yes.
You cannot deny it. He knows how to give a tagline. He knows how to put on an event. He knows how to make memorable images and stuff like that. Like, dude knows what he's doing. His team knows what they're doing. And for him to have this table set up, this desk set up on the stage at the Capital One Arena, stack of what I assume are the rest of the executive orders we've been hearing about, the ones that he didn't get done before the luncheon. He's going to sign them there in front of this packed out arena with people that support him, just doubling down on, I'm here to get the work done. We're not wasting a minute. I've been sworn in as your president for a couple of hours, and I'm at work. And I'm going to work for you every day of this presidential period.
Yeah.
So, and it's good on him.
Yeah, very, very much good on him. And it's, I mean, the man's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame for a reason. He knows how to sell. He knows how to market himself for sure. And it's awesome because, you know, like I said, the people there voted for him to do what he's doing, and he's going to get it done right in front of them for all to see. It's pretty awesome stuff. Also, I don't know if any of y'all are, I doubt any ruffians have CNN turned on today, because why would you? But if you wanted to know what they're doing and the coping level that they're stooping to, they're already claiming that Elon Musk did a Nazi salute at Trump's rally, because he went on stage. Oh. He went on stage and you know, he gave his speech, awesome speech. But then he said that his heart goes out to everybody in the crowd. And if you're watching stream, I can show you what he did. He put his hand on his chest and he stuck it out like this, like heart to the people in the crowd, and sort of that. And
referencing folks with his hand,
yes,
not giving a salute.
Sticking his hand on his chest and reaching his hand out to the crowd. And CNN is already claiming that Elon just did a Nazi salute at Trump's rally. So, I mean, truth be told, who really cares what CNN's saying today, because this day is about Trump. But if you were just curious about how much the left and CNN is coping right now with everything, that's what they're going to. They're continuing to double down on their Nazi rhetoric and narrative, which John Paul from Huntsville texted in earlier if he thought that they would stop. No, they're not stopping anytime soon at this point. Maybe eventually, maybe, you know, midway through the presidency when they realize that nobody's latching on anymore. But as of now,
see, that's so stupid of them, because, and especially stupid of CNN right now, because the leftist media, or as Dale likes to say, the media and their Democrats, you guys have an opportunity right now to course correct.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity right now to report the news as fairly as you can, because you know it's never going to be 100% fair, because we're all human and everything's going to come through our lenses and have a bit of a slant to it. But there's such a thing as having like your personal experiences wrapped into the way that you report something, or the way you feel about something as you take in information. And then it's a completely different thing to be so far to one extreme or the other that you can't fairly represent actions and facts that are happening in front of you. And they have an opportunity to course correct now. They either do it or they double down on the Nazi narrative and lose their listeners and essentially their entire business.
Yep, 100%. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be right back. This is Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Alabama and Tennessee, syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP here live in the Right Side studios, covering on all of the issues, the local, the state, and the national. Just like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, Phil is up in D.C., taking in all the inaugurational stuff and festivities up there. So this is producer JP helping Phil in alongside with Emily Hayes from The Dale Jackson Show. You can catch her from 5 to 9 a.m. on WVNN out of Huntsville. Appreciate Emily coming alongside and filling in with me today. Obviously, the story dominating the news lines today is the inauguration, and rightfully so. You know, Trump's historic comeback to the White House has been something phenomenal to see and watch and take in, and a lot of Americans are enjoying that Trump is back. Obviously, you know, they gave him a mandate. He won the popular vote. They want to see his agenda achieved. And not only people domestically and American citizens, but also international leaders as well joined to watch him get inaugurated. I know Javier Milei was at his inauguration today, the prime minister, the president of Argentina. Also, former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was in D.C. to watch Trump's inauguration. So a lot of world leaders were very happy to see Trump get inaugurated and came to watch it in person. Also, you know, some tech CEOs like Mark Zuckerberg, Tim Cook of Apple, Jeff Bezos was there, obviously Elon Musk as well. So some of the people that were actively censoring him during 2020 decided to show up to the inauguration in support of him. So that was pretty cool to see. But also, Emily, you were talking about other world leaders that openly shared their support for Trump and congratulated him on his return to the White House as well.
Right. Well, you know, Canadian Prime Minister who is on his way out, Justin Trudeau, said, "Congratulations, President Trump. Canada and the U.S. have the world's most successful economic partnership. We have the chance to work together again to create more jobs and prosperity for both our nations." I'm sure that is the kindest way he could respond in regard to the talk of tariffs. Tariff talk.
Yeah, tariff talk.
UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer said, "On behalf of the United Kingdom, I send my warmest congratulations to President Donald Trump on his inauguration as the 47th President of the United States. The special relationship between the UK and the US will continue to flourish for years to come." Now, on the flip side of that, ABC News did get a confirmed report from Buckingham Palace that King Charles III sent his congratulations to him personally, not a public statement made on social media. Zelensky said, "I congratulate President Trump and the American people on the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States. Today is a day of change and also a day of hope for the resolution of many problems, including global changes." So that is an interesting statement from him regarding, you know, him acknowledging the global issues and President Trump getting onto them. President of the European Commission said, "Best wishes, President Donald Trump, on your tenure as 47th President of the United States. The EU looks forward to working closely with you to tackle global challenges." So a lot of the kind of words you would expect from folks that want to congratulate him and get ready to work with him. You know, it's a lot of change coming. And speaking of the global stage, Netanyahu said, "Congratulations, President Trump. Sarah and I send our warmest wishes to you, Melania, and the American people on your second inauguration as President of the United States." So lots of people chiming in, as they do on the world stage when you have a new leader elected, especially on this scale.
Yeah.
You'll have to forgive me as I get distracted. I see more people filling in the white couches and armchairs at the Capital One Arena.
Yeah, I see that as well. It looks like Trump is about to show up and give a speech at the Capital One Arena to all of his supporters that are there. He'll also be signing some executive orders live, which we were just talking about. It's pretty awesome to see the agenda being done in front of the people that voted for it. It's pretty awesome to see. But talking about world leaders, I don't remember. Obviously, I'm not very old, but I don't remember an inauguration here of like so many world leaders wanting to come in person. Apparently, Zelensky asked to come many times and had to be turned down. But like guys like Milei and former British Prime Minister, it's pretty awesome to see that everybody globally is excited to see Trump come back into office, because I think they know what it means, because the world has literally been on fire ever since Biden took office. I mean, look at the war in Gaza. You look at the war in Ukraine, China saber rattling. The world has been on fire because there hasn't been a strong leader in the United States. The leader of the free world has been napping and taking vacations to Nantucket and Delaware and such. So now that there is a leader in the United States in the White House that is a strong peace through strength president, I think the world takes a deep breath of like, okay, things are going to go back to normal and things are going to calm down a little bit because somebody with a backbone is back in the White House and the world can feel it.
Well, it's going to keep those radicals in check.
Yeah.
They're going to think twice before they do something. They may still do something, but they're going to think a little bit harder about it And we're going to be strengthened through our military. And I feel more comfortable already knowing that there are changes happening, that the focus is going to be how can we be a strong military, versus how do we make everybody have the warm and fuzzies that serve in the military?
Yes. And it's,
you know, that's a hard shift they're going to have to make. I think I can't speak for all of those who serve, but I've heard that it's going to be a welcomed change to, you know, you got to get past the DEI stuff. Yeah. And think about and focus on why you're there. And no, I don't know anybody that says I'm going to go serve in the military because they make me feel, you know, included for
they
my differences.
They make me feel validated. And
right.
Know.
Like that's, you're going there to serve your country. You have pride in your country. You feel like you can serve them. You're going, you make that decision. You're not going there to be a part of a DEI program.
No.
You can't put your personal feelings above that of being the most prepared to defend our country. And a lot of people have lost sight of that. So I'm happy to see that that's changing and that that's going to shift. And I think the world sees that shift coming of us getting back to basics. And that's being a strong international force.
Well, I mean, you saw recruiting numbers take such a dip under Biden because the military members were being vilified by the left and, you know, the military members were being disrespected and called, you know, stuff like war criminals. And like the military was just overall vilified under the Biden administration by the left. And so I think that, as well as, you know, changing all of the names of the forts and the DEI, lowering the standards for the military. The standards don't need to be lowered to get more people in the military. The military members just need to be empowered, and it needs to be something that inspires more people to join the military. And we're seeing that already. We've seen when Trump has been announced as Trump got reelected, that the recruiting numbers have gone back up. And then on top of that, Pete Hegseth being announced as the SecDef confirmation, you know, the upcoming SecDef, I think that has helped things a lot. So, yeah, not only just, you know, around the global stage, but at home, I think that has encouraged more people to join the military because they know they're going to be empowered to be strong fighters and strong warriors and not going to be, you know, a part of a DEI culture program there. So I think that goes a long way as well. And it's, yeah, the world is ready for a strong leader to be back in the United States because whenever there's a strong head of the United States, the world is more peaceful. And I mean, especially under Trump's presidency, I mean, you saw the Abraham Accords, you saw him going, the first U.S. president to go to North Korea, and those relations start to slow down, you know, or his rhetoric start to slow down a little bit. Overall, Russia, it was the only U.S. president that Vladimir Putin did not invade another country was when Trump was in office. So ultimately, the world was more peaceful with Trump in office. So I think the world is ready to see that come back. And under Biden, it was on fire. And I think they're tired of it.
Absolutely. Trump's children have been seated now as they await his arrival into the arena at Capital One Arena.
Man, the Trump family
Barron's
is gonna
gotten
be
tall. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Barron's like 6'8", yeah. The Trump family.
I feel like that aunt at the family reunion that's pinching your cheek, be like, I haven't seen you since you were this tall.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think the Trump family's exhausted. I would be.
I'm sure.
I think they've been on every inch of D.C. today doing everything. Yeah, it's got to be exhausting. 833-687-4448 is the text line number, by the way. Call in as well. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Chris from Madison texted in and said, it's been a great day. Haven't smiled this much in the past 4 years, but I won't get tired of winning. Nope, and I won't either. So Jim from Athens also said that he's seen so many people from the left saying the assassination attempt was staged. How stupid are people? Two were killed and others were injured. The left are nuts. Yeah, they are. They are nuts, and I've also seen people claiming...
I saw it referred to as an alleged assassination attempt.
Yes.
And I just...
It's nuts.
Goodness gracious.
I think that was the turn, though, for Trump that he needed, and I know we talked about that earlier, so I can see why the left will try to knock it down and try to make it not as, you know, the event that it was, and... So I think that's just the left's coping level for sure. By the way, folks, Right Side Radio, we live stream the show every day. If you want to go check that out, we're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitter. We're live on Right Side Media's Twitter and also Phil's personal Twitter at Send Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams. We're live on Rumble and Twitch as well. As well as, if you want to go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, we're live streaming there. But while you're there, you're on YouTube or Twitter or wherever, we'd appreciate it if you gave us a follow. That goes a long way in helping us grow as a company. So we would greatly appreciate that. And you can tune into the live stream every single day, wherever you are. If you can't get in contact of a radio, then you just go to the live stream on your phone or computer or wherever, and you can get the show there as well. So we'd greatly appreciate that. But we're going to take a quick time out right now, and then we're going to come back, read off some more of y'all's texts, and break down some of more of inauguration talk today as Trump is about to take the stage at Capital One Arena to talk to his supporters and give his first speech in front of a large group of supporters as president. So stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back here at Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on all the issues and putting all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker out there. We're watching right now as J.D. Vance and his wife Usha are going onto the stage at Capital One Arena and still waiting on Trump to arrive. He will be speaking to his followers, his supporters there at Capital One Arena. It's a packed out, sold out arena there, waiting to hear Trump speak. He'll also be signing more executive orders at this event tonight. He's gotten a lot of them done day one, like he said he would. Just a couple of them that he's signed so far. He has declared a national emergency at the border, which he mentioned in his speech, in his inauguration speech. He clarified the military's role in border security. He ended catch and release and ordered to continue building the wall and end Remain in Mexico. He designated the criminal cartels as terrorists. He suspended refugee resettlement, ended asylum, and closed the border with those without legal status. So a lot of what he said he would do at the border. He also defined sex and he ended DEI programs. So he signed an executive order that now officially the America has only acknowledged two sexes, male and female. So not only has he said that it's something he believes in, he has signed an executive order that America only recognizes male and female. He also declared a national energy emergency, and he ended the EV mandate, the electrical vehicle mandate. And he also will sign a presidential memorandum on inflation on Monday. So there's that as well. So he'll be signing even more of those tonight during his rally there at Capital One Arena, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty cool that on day one, he is doing what he said he will do. And right now we're watching as Trump and Melania are coming down at Capital One Arena as supporters watch on and clap. They've been waiting for this all day. So it's nice to see them.
As they make their way in, I just have to just take a moment as a mom to say, God bless the Vance family, because they've got young children, and those kids, every time I've seen them on television, have been well behaved. Nobody's throwing a fit. They're listening to their mom and dad. They're showing them respect. And J.D. Vance's little girl, he's having to tote her everywhere. I'm sure she's very, very tired. But all I can think about is Margo is 36 pounds, and I get worn out carrying her up and downstairs when she's tired. Because, you know, when your kids are tired, it's almost like a different 36 pounds. There's no help to help. They don't want to help support themselves. You know what I mean? Like that dead weight or whatever. That's how it felt putting her to bed last night after she fell asleep on the couch. But I see him toting around his little girl and she's tired. And it's a long day for the adults, but it's an especially long day for the kids. And kudos to how they've raised their children that they're being able to be respectful and mindful of their parents on such a large scale event.
Yes.
As a mom, I have to say something.
I agree with that too. They behaved themselves.
Goodness
while,
gracious.
Being up literally as Vance was being inaugurated or took his oath to be vice president. I think everybody is tired right now, but I think this is one of the last big events for Trump and the Vance family today, as Trump walks up with his speech in hand, ready to give out, and also signed in some more executive orders there at Capital One Arena. So if y'all want to go check it out, he is going up to the podium right now as we speak, continuing his victory lap, doing the Trump dance right now to wave hello to all of his supporters who've been waiting there. A long day for him. He's got his family all sitting behind him. This is a crazy, crazy scene. This is what all the Republicans have been waiting for 4 years, and Trump it's still kind of crazy to me, kind of surreal to me right now that he's back in office. It doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem real that it looked like Trump was down and out at this time 4 years ago, and he's back, and he's back with even more momentum than the first time. So it's quite something to see. The greatest political comeback in history as Trump goes to up to the podium right now to deliver his speech, saying hello to everybody behind him. This is going to be one heck of a speech, I bet, too, because this is not going to be the pragmatic, focused inauguration speech. This is probably going to be Rally Trump showing up, rallying his supporters as well.
And you think about it, he's in an arena full of people who support him. So, of course, that speech, I believe, would be tailored more towards thanking them for their support, for their belief in him to put the country first again, and for reelecting him given the unrelenting attacks from his opposition. So I anticipate this being a big thank you and a look at what probably the first 100 days will be like under Trump.
And, if y'all want to go check out, he is about to give his speech there at Capital One Arena, and we'll be right back breaking down everything that's going on with these inauguration festivities and continuing to watch Trump as he goes into Capital One Arena right now. So we're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. And we are back here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And we are celebrating collectively this Inauguration Day, this Take Back America Day that we have waited four very, very long years for. And the day is now upon us that Trump is back in office, his rightful place in the White House. And we're keeping an eye here. Trump is now on stage at the Capital One Arena. He has not started speaking yet, but they are still doing military proceedings and such, everybody getting to their seat. But we're going to keep an eye on that and let you know when his speech is underway. But in the meantime, though, we have a caller on the line. Jeff from Indiana has decided to call in. Jeff, what's going on, man? How are you feeling this Inauguration Day? Are you celebrating it?
Oh, I'm stoked, man.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this for 4 years, over 4 years, ever since Biden won, Biden, you know, stole the election, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
Which I hope that Trump has an investigation on a forensic investigation of this previous election and see where all these 18 some odd million votes went to that all mysteriously became about and then disappeared.
Yeah, it's definitely suspicious for sure. By the way, what do you think about Biden on his way out deciding to pardon the J6 committee people, Fauci, and then Milley, his old family? How do you feel about Biden's last actions in office being him pardoning people preemptively?
Well, that's mostly what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, he's basically pardoned everyone around him that could finger him for treason, basically, I guess. Let's call it what it is. The Biden family, this wasn't, influence, man. This was basically a bribe. Anyone who gave him any money out of the family and everything, it would be called a bribe. Now, you can't I would like someone who's a legal scholar to kind of, you know, maybe touch on this and let know something if I've got anything going here. But I think that since you can't go after the family now, since he's pardoned everyone, you can still go after him because he didn't pardon himself. And I would see about trying to seize all the Biden family assets, property, everything else, because it's basically ill-gotten gain and bribery money.
Yeah.
If I stole from you and I got pardoned for the theft, I would still have to give you your money back because it was ill-gotten gains.
Yeah.
And that's the theory I'm working on.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, he didn't pardon himself. Joe didn't in the midst of all that. So I don't know if Trump will do it or if he's just wanting to turn a new page and move on from all of that. But yeah, but another part I'll add to it is now that they've been preemptively pardoned, they can't plead the fifth anymore under, you know, if they're under oath. So now may be a time to take advantage of that and bring Fauci back and subpoena him. And he can't lie under oath anymore about what happened under COVID. I mean, he may still find a way to slither out of that. But now that they cannot plead the fifth, it may be an opportunity to take advantage of that and start subpoenaing some people that maybe were able to lie under oath last time. They can't do that anymore. They've been pardoned.
Yeah. And if Trump is this evil dictator like they say he is, he could use his advantage of doing exactly what Biden did and funnel billions of dollars to himself, pardon everyone around him, and just, you know, become basically an Elon Musk, you know. But I don't know. It really disturbs me that they've basically destroyed the presidential pardon. I think it needs to be looked at again and to who that they can pardon. And maybe have to change the, I guess it's constitutional, so I guess you would have to put an amendment onto the Constitution to change it, because what we've seen here, you know, with someone who doesn't have any scruples can do the same thing again, and we shouldn't go through that again.
Well, not only that, I mean, he did the January 6th and Fauci ones at midnight last night, knowing, you know, trying to slide it in there so nobody would notice, and then literally 30 minutes before Trump, the inauguration ceremony started, is when he pardoned his other family members. So they tried to slide it in there so nobody can notice and it would get buried under inauguration stuff. But I agree, it was a disgraceful way for the Biden administration to go out, but rather fitting if you think about it. Although disgusting, it was fitting, because, you know, it just makes sense for Biden's last actions as a lame duck president for him to pardon people preemptively, even though he claims they ought to be innocent. So it's fitting for sure. But where you at? Are you driving on the road today? Where you at right now? Have you made it to Trashville yet?
I'm in the middle of Nashville, but I'm moving at highway speed. It's a miracle. it's Martin Luther King Day, and everybody's staying home watching the inauguration. So I've got it made today.
That's true. You have it made there. Well, listen, man, be safe on the road and continue to celebrate this inauguration rightfully so, because we all earned it. So I hope you celebrate it rightfully.
Certainly will, JP. You all have a good one.
All right, you too, man. Appreciate it. Well, we are still watching here on Fox News. The celebration is still underway. Trump has not assumed the podium yet, has not started his speech yet. We're keeping an eye on that for you guys, by the way. But Emily, we were just talking about foreign leaders and their comments on Trump's inauguration so far. I don't know if you saw this. I think this happened during our show. Putin actually made a comment about Trump's inauguration, resuming office, and said that he hopes that Trump can help him stop World War III, which is an interesting narrative there. I mean, listen, obviously it's Putin, and people who don't want to take Putin at his word, I think that's fair. Obviously, I'm not a Putin fan myself, but it's kind of an interesting comment for him to say that he hopes that Trump can help him pursue peace globally. Maybe that signals he's ready to end the Ukrainian war, and you know, Trump coming into office, he's ready to put that to a stop. What do you make of that? It's an interesting narrative for Putin to say that about Trump coming back into office there.
Well, it's not the talk of World War III isn't something that hasn't been batted around. That's how they've referred to this, with the Korean involvement, with the North Korean involvement, with what's gone on in the Ukraine and Russia conflict, what's happening in Gaza. People have talked about World War III. So I'm not surprised to hear Putin use the language that has been widely spread by the media in reference to things that are happening internationally. Mm-hmm. So I suppose I don't get as shocked by that.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting in the sense of he's almost saying it in a way of, all right, now a president can come in that's ready to negotiate with me, right? And set aside your thoughts on the Ukrainian war or not, just the fact that, you know, we've had a U.S. president who's not been interested in settling, you know, a war that could spark a global war like the Ukrainian war has. That it's just interesting to see Putin be like, finally, somebody, you know, who's ready to at least talk and negotiate and help me stop this. It's, you know, like I said, whatever you think about Putin, and I'm not a Putin fan myself, but it's just the dynamic of he's saying, in a sense, like, finally, a U.S. president that's ready to talk and help me put an end to this Ukrainian war. I think it's interesting, and I think, you know, I think it's I think you're right. I think the global war, the World War III narrative has been it has been going around a lot. So Putin may be striking at that nerve a little bit there. But it puts away the bad guy narrative. If Putin is the one saying, you know, I want to put an end to this, can a U.S. president help me out here? And that now right. that Trump's in office, that's almost him signaling like Biden has not been willing to talk to me, and hopefully Trump will and help me put an end to this thing. So that's just an interesting narrative there. You know, we've seen how global leaders have reacted about how they're ready to see peace come to the world. And now you see Putin himself, who is actively engaged in a war that is probably one of the more serious ones, if not the most serious one going on right now, that he's saying, you know, signaling that this could signal the end of that war. So I think that's right. something to be celebrated.
It is. Something we haven't touched on yet that is coming out from the White House is the Department of Government Efficiency will just primarily be Elon Musk, because Vivek Ramaswamy has indicated that he plans to run for governor of Ohio.
So
when you're running for public office, it's a little hard to serve. But Vivek Ramaswamy played a critical role in helping us create DOGE. Spokesperson Anna Kelly said in a statement he intends to run for elected office soon, which requires him to remain outside of DOGE based on the structure that we announced. So they thank him for his contributions over the last 2 months, expect him to play a vital role in making America great again. And I suppose that is if he is elected governor of Ohio.
Yeah. And listen, Elon can run DOGE. I mean, he's got like 6,000 things on his plate, I'm sure. But he's a guy that's motivated to help America get to a better place. And, you know, he's talked about how one of his role models in that sense is Javier Milei. Javier Milei, the president of Argentina, came in and literally cut 90% of the fat of the government bureaucrats. And now that they've had their first surplus in, I think, ever, Argentina. So that you see the fruits of cutting from government and cutting the fat. And we saw what Elon did when he took over Twitter. He cut 80% of the staff, and now how we see where X is in a much, much greater spot now than it used to be. So I think Elon right now knows how to do that. He knows efficiency. I mean, for crying out loud, he's building rockets that could be reused. So, I mean, he knows efficiency to its bone. So, even though Vivek is now going on to run for the governor of Ohio, I think DOGE will be very, very well. But we've got a DOGE caucus even, where our Alabama's own Gary Palmer will be a part of that. So DOGE is going to be fully underway, no matter who is in charge of it right now. Vivek helped get that kick started, and now he's focusing on other things. But I think DOGE is very much going to be in effect, and Elon will make sure that it's used properly like it was intended to be when it was made. 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-RIGHT. Let us know your thoughts on the inauguration, the ceremony. And we're still awaiting Trump to speak at this rally at Capital One Arena. There's still proceedings underway before Trump gets underway speaking. So we're keeping an eye on that for you. But right now we're going to take a quick timeout, and we will be right back continuing to talk about everything inaugural, because rightfully so, we've waited for this for 4 years. It's time to celebrate. So we're gonna take a quick time out. This is Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on all of the issues, local, state, and the national. And we're breaking down even more the inauguration today. This moment we've been waiting for 4 long years, and Trump has resumed his rightful place in the White House. And right now we are awaiting for his speech at Capital One Arena, where he will be addressing his followers, his supporters who have been waiting there for a long time to hear him. And he will also be signing some executive orders there, some border-related stuff, also some military-related issues. So it's cool to see the Trump agenda taking place right away. I mean, literally day one, signed his first batch of executive orders right after the inaugural speech. So this is a cool thing to see. He's hitting the ground running there, and everybody at Capital One Arena will be able to see it live. And also we see the Vances, the kids sitting up there with Trump as they're watching.
You know what I've learned from the inauguration today?
Well, what's that?
What better parents the Vances are than me and husband.
Yeah.
Simply because, and I told JP this during the break, and I'm comfortable sharing it with everybody listening. Anybody that's got little ones will understand. We don't have, this is something Dale and Yaffe and I have talked about off the air. We don't have children's church at our church. We don't really have a nursery. One thing you'll see in a lot of Lutheran churches is a cry room, and that's the room. It has a little plaque on the door. It says cry room, and that's where you change your kid's diaper, or if your kid's acting up in church, you step out. If they're crying, you go out there, get them calmed down before you come back and you're a part of the service or whatever. Margot, you know, it's a longer church service to sit through, but she gets through it with the help of, I don't know, I would say on average, 5 packages of Welch's gummies. Sometimes we have to bust out some graham crackers. But, I mean, she'll be 3 on Valentine's Day. And I just think about last week's church service during the benediction when she announced to the entire church that she had peed. She needed to go potty. I pee, Mom. I need to change my popper. And the whole church heard it. My sister was singing in the choir loft and almost fell out because she was laughing so hard into the organ pit. But I just think about what we go through with Margot in a 60 to 70 minute church service. And then I see the Vance's kids just so well behaved. I don't see anybody carrying around any gummies for them. So we may have to have a serious talk with Margot.
It's also impressive too. Those kids are probably exhausted. They've been all over DC today, and yet they're still behaving. It's pretty impressive up there. They also at the ceremony, the Butler Fire Department,
Butler County First Responders presented the colors, marched in a large U around the arena. They carried the fire jacket of Corey Campitore, who is the rally goer that was killed during the attempt on Trump's life. They also had a moment of silence for him as well. And I'm really, really glad to see his memory respected like that, especially with a Trump victory in another large group setting like this. You know, these things make me nervous, especially when Trump's involved, because there's just a lot of evil in the world, and we've seen it firsthand throughout this election season. So I'm glad that they recognize that life that was lost and keep his memory alive like that. I thought it was very touching, very fitting.
Yeah, it was. It was fitting for sure. And it just points to the gravity again. I know we talked about this earlier about the threat that is there, not only for Trump, but, I mean, his supporters who two were killed and then Trump was shot up in Butler, Pennsylvania. So this is not a game. This is Trump, you know, putting his neck out on the line and doing something for America. And, you know, I know we talked about this earlier, like I said, but this is monumental just, you know, for that reason, I think, because this massive comeback that Trump has now commenced, and he is now back in the White House after he was pretty much dead, buried, and gone, politically speaking, it seemed like. And he survived all of the attacks, all of the indictments, all of the political attacks, all of everybody calling him Hitler, calling him a Nazi, calling him an insurrectionist. And then you put into that the indictments, the convicted felon narrative, him coming back and being reelected in the Republican primary, and then going through not only Biden in the presidential debate, but then taking on Kamala and being the first Republican to win the popular vote in 20-something years, and now back in the presidential office as U.S. president. It is the greatest comeback in political history, globally for that matter, and it is something that deserves to be celebrated, because Trump did this because he loves America, because he's like I said, he got shot in the head and yet continued on when he could have just called it there. He continued on and survived all of the attacks, rose up from being knocked out on the mat, and not only did he won in convincing fashion.
Nobody would have faulted him after that assassination attempt for getting out of the race. No, I cannot think of anybody who would have faulted him for that. Also, with the Mar-a-Lago stuff, when they foiled that attempt, wouldn't have faulted him for it then. I cannot imagine the conversations they've had as a family, because regardless of how you feel about him, that's someone's husband, that's someone's dad, that's someone's grandpa. You know, the love there for that person, that major figure in their life, you want them to be around as long as possible. And just him running for a second term and the attempts on his life, the strength of this whole family is something to be respected.
I agree completely. And this is a day that deserves to be celebrated amongst Republicans. It's Trump deserves all the flowers he can get for pulling this off, and now his agenda begins. He started day one, and he's going right away with the executive orders, starting his agenda, and that's how it has to be done. Real quick, John from Huntsville texted in the grades. He said, Emily Hayes gets a solid A for her solid performance, but I did have to give her a five-point deduction for saying Roll Tide, which means today's winner is obviously JP with a perfect A triple plus. Congratulations. And in about 6 hours, me and J-Town are going to be celebrating Notre Dame's national championship victory. So there you go. Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in, listening to me and Emily fill in for Phil today while he's up in D.C. Celebrating the inauguration up there. Tomorrow, Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune will be coming in studio and filling in for tomorrow. So make sure to stay tuned for that. And then on Wednesday, Phil will be back, and it'll be scheduled per usual. So we appreciate you guys listening. Like I said, this was Right Side Radio, and go pop some champagne tonight because you deserve it. For 4 long years of Biden and Trump is back, and it's time to celebrate, ruffians. We'll see you tomorrow.